Welcome, everybody. Owls West.
West.
This is our August 16th reviews episode, part two, in which we will be discussing Batman Last Night on Earth, book two, the once and future issue number one. But first, we will start off with one of my personal fan favorites, is Gwynpool Strikes Back issue number one, written by Leo Williams and art by David Baldeon.
Sure.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know.
I'll just call you David for now. Your artwork is great, and drawing Gwynpool, not just her, but the comics, is a very interesting task to take on that you did extremely well. Drawing comics inside of comics about comics is very difficult and not as comical as it sounds. And Leah Williams also, you really know how to write Gwynpool. Just great, great character writing for that. As most listeners of this show know, I'm a huge fan of hers since way back when.
Yeah.
And this is continuing. It's literally a story about her cementing herself into the Marvel Universe so that she doesn't get retconned out of existence.
Yeah. Yeah. This was hilarious.
Yeah.
I was laughing out loud at stuff because there's so much incidental background things, and the way that she describes the pregnant woman is so screwed up. They lead you right in right away for her.
Oh, and I totally got that now. That's an MIA joke, is because she's like, all I want to do is squeeze this pregnant lady.
Yeah.
And then it says, all I want to do is gunshot, click, squeeze this lady. So, all I want to do is squeeze this lady.
I also like the fact that she jabs Deadpool by saying that her actual existence was to break the fourth wall from her creation.
Oh, yeah,
so
that
was like,
about that.
She's actually a better character.
Yeah, which is totally true because it's like Deadpool just looks at the camera and says something funny, and then Gwynpool looks at the camera and readjusts it so she's in a new panel.
Right.
Well, that's the fun thing is, was it Deadpool originally just showed up? He was just supposed to be an assassin, and
he was just a mercenary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he turned into what he is now, so.
Yeah, because his first appearance in
X-Men. It was in the 90s.
X-Force. Yeah, yep. He just comes in and shoots up the place and then gets killed.
I think he's still wordy, but that's like...
Yeah, he's mouthy, but like that's pretty common for Marvel characters, you know, to have the quips.
The quips.
Yep, the mid-battle quips. And I totally realized that looking at this too, the reason that Gwen is wearing her bank robbing PJs in the beginning is because it's her irradiated self from the future, so you can't see that she's different.
Yep.
And then she comes in. Yeah, so I'm liking this. She's getting all of her powers back, like retconning herself.
It's so funny.
Yeah, and not to mention drawing, like, this comic book inside of a comic book thing is difficult, but actually writing a retcon of it is very intricate.
I just laugh at the fact because she literally just helped, like, she basically robs a bank to get his attention so he can bite her so she can have irradiated powers, and I was like, what?
And then the money she steals, she gives to the pregnant woman to run off with to raise her baby. I just, like, it's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
Well, she also gives the money to the chick because he's like, do you want me to call my boss? I really hate her. Could you do that for me, please? You just go and hands. Does that work? Yeah, that works perfectly. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's hilarious too that she's by getting Spider-Man's attention and that he's on the cover with her. I'm sure that actually drew in a lot of people to it.
Yeah,
so it's like meta cementing itself. It, you know, having Spider-Man on the cover is obviously a gimmick and unmasking him because he's just, you know, because he's in three pages maybe.
Right.
This whole
book. Well, and they actually show something that occurs in the book on the cover because she does unmask him.
Yeah.
I know they're referencing Civil War.
I didn't see anything.
And then for the next issue, she's going to take on the Fantastic Four or quote unquote take them on. So,
well, I have to say, when she's in her pajamas within the first, I think we're in like the third page, And she's like, and here's me now. Male sharks have two penises. And it's got the little clappy emojis between each word.
I don't know why, but I love her, like, stance in the bank robbing. Yeah. Too. Like, just the way she's, like, she's, like, half asleep and shooting up a bank with a machine gun. Like, yeah. Like really in her just, pajamas.
Just shooting up the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. She's... she's... Oh man, this is hilarious. This is everything.
Did you go back to page 15, panel 3 when you got to the end of the book?
Page 15, panel 3?
Yeah, if you get to the very end of the book, it says return to page 15, panel 3.
Oh, I thought it was just panel 3 because on the third panel, that's when she swoops back into the book and opens it up.
Page 15, panel 3, she says to be continued.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And I counted out the pages just to be sure. It's that panel right there.
Oh. That's true. Oh, my God. See, yeah, it said... Yep. Oh, man, now I'm looking at it. Yeah, it does say page 15, panel 3. I totally just thought it was panel 3.
That's awesome.
In general, because that's the first time in the book that you actually see her.
Oh, right.
The third panel.
Okay.
I do enjoy the fact that she, like, talks about her senior photo, and she's actually showing Spider-Man her senior photo at one point, and then peeks into the actual panel.
Which,
and
best senior quote, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Is, oh, yeah.
Don't you hate it when you're in a public restroom, but there's no toilet paper, so you have to use your hands? Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
It's attributed to...
The face, though.
It's totally, like, it gives me a callback to that Tyler, the Creator album. Where he's just him, like, watermarked and, like, the picture of his face.
Oh, man.
That would be hilarious if that's what it was a call to. But
Mary Jane at the very end, she, oh my gosh, she has a... The picture on the back of her phone is the little land shark in her outfit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's Jeff, her land shark.
And it says, and she's giggling, how to expose myself to radiation, and it pops up all the stuff you would see on Google. How to expose myself, closest banks to 20 Ingram St. New York, and then how to rob a bank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's like the YouTube video thing in the beginning where it's like in the middle of all of these crazy like superhero reference stuff, it's like how to make gazpacho.
Yeah. all of her previous like internet searches. Because you know like when you do that, it usually pops up with your first, with like
the
your
last
most
three.
Recent few. So
yeah.
How to rob a bank. Oh, no, it just says how to rob bank.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, the other words are superfluous. You don't need them in them.
Mm-hmm. Closest bank to 20 Ingram Street, New York City.
How about that favorite Peter? He's just like...
It was good.
These
I
whole,
can't...
like, last few pages where she's going through the comic space and stuff is just great. Popping her head into her own thought bubble.
That's crazy. I don't even understand how that works.
Yeah, well... So it's so weird because in the first Gwenpool thing, it's like, if something happens in a comic, then she can be there.
Okay.
So by having a flashback, she can then teleport to that flashback.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, right?
I do want to read more of this, though. I'm glad it's not just a one-shot.
She started off as such a joke character, and I didn't tell anybody I was reading it for, like, the first 20 issues. And now it's, like, one of the most complex character powers.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to keep bubbling about this while we go on.
Understand this. You understand nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, next on the list is Once in Future number 1. This is written by Kieran Gillen with art by Dan Mora.
All the Dan Excuse Mora. Me.
This is from Boom Studios. Yeah, this is legendary England awesomeness with a grandma who's been in a... She's in a home more because... It just works for their family dynamic, not more than anything else.
I think he says that she volunteered to go in.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be a bother, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Such a British grandma.
Right? She just
step up a lip.
But it turns out that she's basically some sort of a monster hunter and has a cachet
of vampires to hunt.
Yeah. She's got a cachet of weapons hidden in the forest, and she's just hanging out smoking a cigarette, you know? Like,
yeah, well, grandma thinks.
Right? This is just a ton of fun, and there's a lot of layers with stuff I don't really want to spoil. Oh, and Dan Moore's art. Holy crap.
I would like to say...
So good.
I want to know who it was that described this character, but good for you, Dan Moore, for bringing it to life, because this will haunt my nightmares.
The questing beast.
Yeah.
A giant snakehead with a lion body and dog tumor barking thing at you, and then I don't know, is that a snake tail?
Yeah, it looks like a snake head and a snake tail on a lion / cheetah body with a giant sack full of dogs on its belly.
It looks like an alligator's tail to me, like with the spiked spines or a crocodile tail.
It's horrifying is really what all this comes down to, is it's terrifying and horrifying, and it's good for you, Dan Moore, making it come to life, because it's awesome looking and I'm terrified.
I also think it's cool that, like, the weapon that stops it is just a spear, really, with a flag. You know, like, it's not some sort of crazy elaborate thing. It's just it sees this and goes, oh, I should run away now.
That's basically what happened.
And it's also, some sort of enchanted item, I assume.
Right, and then the idea that if you chase after it, it will consume you and you'll just keep going after it, and that's, like, the idea of questing beast. Mm-hmm. So, like, once you get to that point, you're just endlessly on the same quest trying to find and stop it. So, yeah, this was, like, really great, just simple world building, and there's pretty cool ties to other stories, and I don't really want to say anything about that, because I think experiencing it is really cool.
Because I had no idea where this was going, and then it was like, bam! And I was like, that's where it's going.
Yeah.
I had to reread it a couple of times, though, because the scene where she accidentally shoots him.
Shoots him in the ear?
Yeah, she shoots
I wasn't as good as I used to be, and I was like, what are you guys, what?
She's, like, just trying to, like, scare him or whatever, right. And shoots the gun and actually shoots him. Like, oh, a little shakier than I used to be.
Flips him in the ear, and he's like, you shot me!
Yeah, she, like, makes reference to him still being young, that's fine.
You'll live. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
He's partially deaf now.
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at it now, and I totally missed it. But yeah, he has a big ass chunk missing from his ear for the rest of the book.
Makes sense.
Yeah. No. Exactly. But I'm just very excited to see where this goes. And knowing Kieran's writing style, it's only gonna explode from here with
Here's the other part. It's only from what I saw, it's only 6 issues,
which is great.
Is it really?
Yeah. Nice,
I'm fine
story.
With that. I just I'm interested to see where this goes.
I want to see more Dan Mora crazy creatures.
Oh my god, I'm terrified of what else I'm gonna see.
Am I right?
There's cool, a lot of hair.
Cool enchanted things, enchanted relics.
Yeah. So. Yeah. King Arthur mythology. So
yeah. There's some stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Yes. So, cool. Well, with that, I guess we should probably get on to our last book of this episode.
Round 3.
Yay. Ready. Fight.
Exactly. All right, so we've got Batman Last Night on Earth, book 2. We've got Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. My God. What is this world? And, I mean, what is it? I think in the second issue, you're, like, 3 or 4 pages in, and you see this vortex of, like, a red tornado coming at him. And you've got Joker yelling at him, hey, you need to move. And then a lightning strike hits a horse, and it turns to dust. Turns out that this insane, crazy cloud is all of the Flashes, and... Oh my god, it's terrifying. It's just, they're screaming, Bruce, help us. I was like, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he said there's no helping them, not Barry Allen or Bart or Jay Garrick or any of them. So it's apparently all the Flashes.
Yep, everybody with the Speed Force, force together.
Into the Force itself, turning into a Force tornado.
Yeah, which is terrifying. Yeah, I was reading this comic at work, actually, and the head chef came over. He's not even, like, that big of a comic book fan, but he just, like, saw that and he was like, what is happening right now in this? I was like, I am wondering the same exact thing.
Yeah, this is nuts. This is, like, if it's not in his head, which I hope it is actually all occurring, then this is super demented. And what they do to Superman,
oh my god,
have the entire world turn against him.
Yeah.
It's, man. Yeah, there's some crazy stuff. Like, it's such a hard book to,
and then Wonder Woman slashing Superman or one of the super bots.
And then you have Luthor, who lost his mind and just becomes obsessed with bringing Superman back because he realized he made a mistake. And I was that in itself is...
It's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, because Luthor was the one who essentially initialized the apocalypse.
Yeah, because basically all he said is, we're going to have a debate, and the whole world will think either Doom or this, and whatever side they choose. If they say more Doom, then the person gets hit with, like, those kryptonite spikes, basically.
Yeah.
And turns out they pick Doom.
Yeah, and he was saying, too, that what he was expecting to happen was that they would choose him, the spikes would come, and then Superman would fly and save him, like Superman always does for Lex Luthor. But they don't, and they kill Superman, and...
Yep.
Think of nightmares, people. Think of nightmares.
Yeah. Yep. And it turns out that Lex didn't actually want Superman dead. He wanted to prove a point more than anything, and he was right.
Yeah.
In being wrong, I guess. Yeah. And then the whole River Styx
scene, that's
so heart-wrenching. All the heroes that perished in the apocalypse, just all standing there and watching Batman and Diana row by.
Yeah.
Well, it's the ones that they all feel responsible for, and he feels responsible for all of them.
Yeah.
For the deaths of that's everyone. True.
Literally everyone.
That's the other thing, too, is... Looking at this, I was trying to find some people in here, and I didn't find who I was looking for.
Who are you looking for?
So originally, when I was reading this, I was looking for his sidekicks, and none of them are in there.
Yeah, his sidekicks were... Okay, so we should talk about Omega a little bit.
Yep.
As I was reading through the book the first time, the first inclination that I was having as I was reading, I was like, okay, so we're unfortunately gearing ourselves to a story where the villain is Dick Grayson. Where that Grayson is Omega, and Grayson is the one responsible for this, because he would be the first to go against Bruce's wishes and take action.
Yeah.
We've seen that before. We've seen stories where he's not the villain, per se, but where, you know, Grayson realizes that the way that Batman operates isn't the way that things should go. But we actually see Grayson at the end of this issue, which
the insane part is when they said, you know, it's the Court of Owls, and it turns out he's leading the Court of Owls, which is what he was actually supposed to be in New 52.
Yep.
You find out that he was actually...
He was being targeted by the Court of Owls.
By the Court of Owls to become their next,
the Talon. Yep.
Yeah.
And now he's leading them.
Now he's the leader, the lead Talon, and... Which makes sense, you know, if there's going to be an organization to keep Gotham safe, it's the one that's been hiding underground the whole time doing it. But Omega, we were trying to speculate, we were just doing a little, like, random discussion before this recording, and Kat seemed to have an interesting idea about Scarecrow's involvement in the Omega scene at the beginning of the book.
Which was, I mean, so at one point he appears, but Scarecrow... hits Alfred in the back of the neck with his toxins before he shows up, you know, and then he shows up, and that's the thing is, like, I don't think he's actually there. I think he's just seeing things, and I'm actually curious as to what if Scarecrow also can tell what he's seeing.
So you think that's Alfred hallucinating Omega coming?
I think so.
Interesting. I mean, that would make sense because, like you said, he was just hit with Scarecrow.
Well, it seems toxin. Like he's also close to whoever it is.
Yes.
And he calls them the Waynes. That's how I figured out it wasn't Damian, because he says the Waynes, and he is technically a Wayne.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, they have a familiarity, Omega and Alfred, so...
Yeah.
So if it's not Damian, I still speculate that it has to be a member of the Bat family.
They're not going to that showing of Zorro after all.
After you said that pointed out the injection,
mm-hmm.
I think Omega's there, but I think Omega looks at, using the fear toxin, will look at what you're afraid of. So in Alfred's biggest fear is that Batman never escapes, and he never leaves that life, and when you're in the life too long, you become the villain. So his version of Omega isn't the Joker, isn't, you know, one of the Rogues Gallery. It's Bruce in the bat suit as a demon version of Batman.
You die the hero, you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
And that's, you know, the fear that Alfred has, is that that's who it is. Money would be Damien, because Damien has been used in the past as the end times.
You think he's looking back at Grant Morrison stuff that he did?
Possibly. So Batman 666 mm-hmm. would be Damien. Mm.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think it's Grayson anymore, because we see Grayson at the end.
True.
You convince them, the Waynes, they're not going that showing of Zorro after all.
So maybe it isn't a member of the Bat family, because he does say that a little disconnected.
But if you're telling somebody that, if you're trying to make them...
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
it's hard. You could use that language to manipulate the situation more than to just to be disconnected yourself.
That is true, and it seemed to me as if Omega was trying to give him a happy death, a good way out. So that's why I assumed the familiarity was because if you were just a generic supervillain, why would you want Alfred to go out like on a happy thought?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're killing him, then just kill him.
Yeah. Also, we have Jason Todd, Tim Drake, which Tim Drake in Detective Comics also went bad.
Okay.
Because there was that one too.
So Tim.
Yeah.
So you think you guys are probably right. It is probably someone from the Bat family.
Well, we have to look at timelines too. So Lex is still alive in this story. So we can't be so far out into the future that.
Well, but Alfred was too.
Alfred's too, yeah. So yeah. Alfred looks like he might be in his, like, 90s or, like, late 80s.
Yeah, I assume there's, so like
30 years?
30-ish years is what I was assuming.
So so Damien could be old enough to be, like, a...
Yeah, that would put him in his, like, 40s.
Yeah. You convince them, the Waynes. Is anybody in, like, the Bat family or in, like, the,
That'll be a question I had for you. I have no idea.
I'm thinking about, like, the DC Rogues Gallery. If somebody who has, like, the ability to...
Who has the ability to?
Maybe it's Hush.
That would actually... Because
one of the first things he says is, shh, I have something to tell you.
Hmm. Interesting.
Scott Snyder wrote that, didn't he?
No. Jeff Loeb wrote Hush.
That's right. Jeff Loeb did.
But does somebody have, like, a manipulation ability, like something to like power of suggestion kind of power?
Well, I mean, when you're under the Scarecrow's toxin, then it kind of acts certain ways, like a manipulation drug, like a sort of truth serum.
Okay.
Where you're more open.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Like, truth serum really means that you're just more open to suggestion.
Right.
Exactly.
You're less inhibited with the response. It's curious. Like, they're leaving it... There's got to be clues in the dialogue, because that's a very Snyder thing to do, would be to,
always.
To lay
be, I have a feeling when we find out who it is, I'll be rereading it and looking at all this.
But I certainly think you're right, though, because that panel choice specifically to show the stabbing in the neck before we see Omega really leads me to believe that we're not seeing Omega in its true form.
So the real question is, does anybody know who Omega actually is then? Or is it, you know...
That's a great question. Well, like, if anybody in-world knows who Omega is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe it's somebody completely random.
Yeah, like, does Alfred know already who went there, who became Omega, or...
Yeah, because, like, you know, that was my biggest question. Does anybody actually even know who Omega actually is, or is it...
Quote on the back, though. Did you guys read this? The back quotes have been just phenomenal so far. We have to help, Bat said. Help which side? I said. What do you mean? He said. Help everyone. But he didn't move.
Mm.
That's, like, just...
Damn, that's a little bit on the chilling side.
for Batman, is such a man of action. You know, if something is wrong, then he needs to be doing something about it. But how? Why?
How? Yeah.
when he doesn't know what to do.
Because that's the sequence where they're flying over the unknown soldiers area.
With all the
mutants things popping up. We always forget too, like, or we just don't discuss the fact that Joker is the one who's telling us the story. So it's from the point of view of the Joker.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, his lantern, and that's...
Yeah.
See, that's one of the other things too, is it's like, that...
Very interesting.
If it was Jason Todd, I feel like he just would have killed him. Right. Or decapitated him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, leaving a trophy is not... And how is the Joker still alive, too? Like, that's another weird... Like, is that really something, or is it that in Bruce's head? Is he imagining the Joker being there and conversing with him?
Yeah. The Joker being his lantern through the world.
Yeah.
This book.
I have to wait another month to find out what happens. It's bullcrap.
I know, I'm like, I need to read 1 and 2 again before reading 3, because...
Yeah, I need a month to decompress, too.
There's some more time, like... There's been a lot of note-taking books coming out recently, like... Gotta have the giant wall and take
and
notes,
and
I put, the yarn between
the
them,
red
like,
yarn,
where does this go from?
Which is nice for me, because I'm always like, but what about the implications and the subtleties and the subtext, and you're like, Superman punches harder.
Yeah.
And then now these books are coming out, and you're like, Patrick, did you know that there's subtext to these books? No, go on, please, tell me more.
Scott Snyder is like that in all of his books, though, because he did it in The Court of Owls, he did it in, he did it in his entire run, basically, that he did with 52. And The Court of Owls was...
I just realized...
Court of Owls hurt my soul.
I just realized something about Bane's design, too, is that he has the bat symbol as his, like, the whites of his luchador mask.
Oh, shit.
Oh, really?
So that would really lean us to go that Omega is somehow related to the Bat family, because... You know, the joke is Batman puts his brand on everything, so...
Yeah, Batman Incorporated.
So, I don't know. This is a really odd one.
Yeah.
Dude, the Scarecrow's horrifying, by the way. Like, I didn't think he could get creepier, and they're like... And Greg Capullo's like, hold my...
I wonder if they gave him some of the bone issue that the Flower Man had.
That's kind of what I was wondering, looking at the finger part of it.
Yeah.
It looks like mechanics. It looks like metal, though.
Oh, okay, so it's like they're extensions from his hands. Because, there was a character that was... I can't remember the character's name. Bloom.
It was Bloom. He was fucking terrifying, too.
Yeah.
And his face is all creepy.
Bloom and Groom.
All right.
You might be right on that, though.
I think we have reached our end.
Yeah,
the end of long thought and process, and dear God.
The only thing I have to say is I have questions.
I have questions, but they're good ones.
Yeah, good questions. Entirely good questions.
Yep. Only stupid answers.
Only stupid answers, yeah. There definitely are stupid questions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess there is only one person who died that's in the Bat family, and that's Batwoman.
Oh, yeah.
I could see Kate Kane doing this shit.
Yeah. And now that you're saying it might be a like hallucination when we actually see him, so
we don't know
if it's a him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the outline is pretty traditionally male looking, but
yeah, could be Barbara.
Yeah.
Oh shit. That's right. I didn't see her either. All you saw, the only one of the Bat family that you saw was Batwoman. So
yeah.
Cool.
Well,
shit.
Yeah,
before
we have any more of those moments, I guess we should probably say goodbye then.
All right.
Bye. Well, bye.